that was, at that time, was kind of very awkward for me. But so today, this is my first time to preach in English, and I know you are very welcoming and very patient with me. So first, let me thank you. And so let's get some good time. Really want to enjoy the time with the Word of God, and we can together to really be in front of Him. I plan to, if I have opportunity, this is the first time to preach John. As Jim said, probably you like the first part of John very much, but I like to preach John if I have opportunity a few times. So the Gospel of John, I wanted to go through some of the verses so that we learn how we can live in a very busy world today. You know, the world is very busy. You know, just the holidays just went behind us, and now it's NFL, right? Super Bowl. I know you guys are talking. I don't know how much time you spend watching TV. And some of you might very much focus on a New Year's resolution, and I hope it carries you a long way. But we're all very busy. And so through the Gospel of John, I'd like to let us spend a little bit of time together to learn how we can live a life in such a busy world. And we can have some rest in God. Now, speaking of rest, I know sometimes when I speak, may be a little bit monotone, right? That may give you a little bit sense of peace, but it could, if you don't pay attention, can put you into sleep. You have enough peace and you sleep. It's okay. Now, I just want to ask you, don't snore. Don't talk in your dream, okay? Otherwise, you're disturbing others' peace, right? So yes, but if you feel so comfortable, so peaceful, you want to close your eyes and drop your head, it's okay. And again, I really enjoyed the time. I think each of you is beautiful. In the worship, yes, each of you. I want to say, I cannot call your name, yes. Either Ben or Joseph or Jessica or whoever here. Beautiful. All right. And we have beautiful worship here because we have our very, very beautiful Lord with us. And I know in the past, sometime, we experienced some turbulence amongst us. But I want to tell you that I feel so good. I don't know what other words I use, right? Be with you today. I feel that sincerity, the openness, the heart, the passion with Lord. That's what you want to keep throughout the year. It is so important. So let's turn our eyes to Jesus. And even in a turbulence, the most beautiful thing is that the Lord is with us. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us opportunity to worship you, to give us opportunity so that we can have such a great, wonderful worship time with our friends, brothers, and sisters, so that we can know your words, so that we can live in your words. We pray that you open the eyes of each of us so that we can listen to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, Gospel of John, obviously written by Apostle John, right? But many of you may not know where the book was written. The theologians believe that it was written in the city of Ephesus. Now the church is preaching Ephesians. So it is Ephesus where Apostle John wrote this book. And he lived there over 50 years in Ephesus. So Ephesus is, at that time, was the capital of Roman province of Asia. So Roman Empire was such a huge empire. And Ephesus was the capital of the province of Asia. It was one of the largest cities at that time. The city was famed for the nearby, I don't know if anybody heard the name of the temple of Artemis. Right? That temple was one, or and is probably still one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And you can see, you know, people live there. It was such a wonderful time and such a wonderful city. And they are very busy, very populous, busy, and economically developed city. People had all kinds of jobs, all kinds of pursuits, and some of them actually grew very rich quickly, just like today. So imagine that it's not very, very far from today's world, right? Just like today, like in America, right? And many at the time, many philosophers and many philosophies, religions, and people seek the answer with one question. The answer to one question. What is the truth? And why they seek that answer to that question? Because they want to know, how should I live? That question was not a, you know, a question only in a book, right? It is a very practical question. When we know what the truth is, we know how to live our life. So today, let's start with this journey. By the way, that's the temple you are seeing. Such a huge, humongous temple in the ancient world. So today, I will talk about the very first part of John in three parts: the Word, the darkness, the light. And each part I have an A word, so you'll have a triple A, three A's. I want to test if you pay attention. And some of you are very good, even in sleep, you can still listen. So pay attention, and I'll ask you at the end, what is the each A word in each of the sections, right? So let's start with that. John 1:1. Everyone can just recite them without looking at the book, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. For many people, it is very hard to understand the word here, to be honest. You think you know this verse so well, right? You even talk about it many times, but word means here. And how it is put together here, it's even very difficult to understand. Because if we say the Word of God, well, yes, the Word of God, right? But it says here, the Word was God. The Word was God. I mean, think God's how big, right? How big, how incredible. Even a preschooler knows what a word is, right? How come the Word was God? Does it mean our spoken words or the languages? If so, then the linguists would be whom we listen to, not the pastors. And yet, the Bible says here in Genesis 1:3, said, God said, Genesis 1:3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, how powerful God said these words. If you know how special light is in our entire universe, and you know how wonderful when God said, how powerful when He said, let there be light, and there was light. In John 4:49, the royal official said to him, to Jesus, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. And what happened? When Jesus said, your son lives, his son lives from death to life. How powerful these words are. But why most of us don't experience this kind of power of word today? You experience that? Probably not, right? Not most of us. Some of you maybe. Today we live in a very busy world. Our daily life filled with social media. Twitter. Somebody mentioned Twitter earlier. I probably use more Twitter than me. So we live in a world filled with social media, entertainment, consumer saw a lot of innovations. And one of the booths, we have a lot of booths, and one of the booths I saw is quite cool. Some of the booths are very cool. And there's a camera. It's a hidden camera. You really can't see. And taking, you know, pictures and videos of the consumers, and immediately it knows the age, the gender, as much as it can know. Maybe your personal profile in the past, because facial recognition is so advanced today. And immediately, the screen showed advertisement ads exactly personalized to you. And so all the beautiful words about you, all the beautiful words you want to see, either you are introverted or extroverted, you like to see some different words. And the other booth showing, you know, when we get online with the retailers, you know, we chat, right? The other side we thought was human, but actually it's a robot, right? Artificial intelligence chatting with you. And what happens at the back is when the chat is, you know, going on, the robots actually understand you and guess your personality and talk to you better in a more personal way. So see how this world is trying to entice you to get your attention. Try to tempt us. This makes our mind very busy with all kinds of things. You need this, you need that. You'll be fabulous if you do this, if you do that. You'll be successful if you try this, if you try that. So we are all busy and tired with many superficial words. Words contain very little value and meaning. These are actually lies surround us, because they don't really have value to our life. We have many thoughts, many ideas, and many to-dos. I want to do this today, tomorrow. The words in our minds become, give me this, and give me that. I want this, I want that. I can't miss this, I cannot miss that. And see, all is about me and I. And words become powerless. Often we need to raise our volume when we speak, right? To scream to somebody, you hear me? Maybe our parents do that more often. But that happens. And words are, sometimes we feel only powerful when we use them negatively. Even use words from Bible to fight with others, to hurt others. We don't really have time to read the Word of God. Even when we read, we're not really getting into the Word of God. We just see and experience on the surface. We don't experience the power. Instead of transforming power, the Word of God even became the tool to serve our selfish purposes. Sadly to us, Bible became such an ordinary book now. And the original power of God, the Word of God, is not experienced in our very busy lives. Now, you understand why the teacher in Ecclesiastes 5:2 said, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. Just be quiet. Speak little. Be quiet. Because all our words coming out of mouth, not much value. So mankind is lost in all kinds of sayings, philosophies, religions, persuasions. We've lost our attention to the original Word, the Word of God. So right here, in the midst of all these, Apostle John loudly and firmly declare that the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Men, really, I hope we can get attention to these words. Out of all the noises, busyness, John saying, attend to God. Attend to the Word. Word here in the original Greek is logos. Probably you've known that, right? Not only meaning, so logos in the original meaning not only means something we said every day in our daily lives, but also it means truth. It means truth, which gives the direction of how people should live their lives. That's what truth means. How we should live our lives. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. So word, the word here, is definitely not ordinary word. It is the way, the truth, and the life, how we should live our lives. Because we human, however great we think we are, right? We usually think we are great. But we have no idea what the word is and have no way to comprehend the meaning. By God's amazing grace, the word became flesh to show us and to allow us to experience. In John, in 1 John 1:1, we read here, and I just, not the complete verse here, it said, we have heard, which we have seen, so we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, right? We have eyes and ears and hands upon, handled, concerning the word of life. So it's so true, it can be so true to us. It's not in the book only, it's not ancient. It's very true to each of us, because He has become flesh to demonstrate the word of God. Because human, we are so busy with our own ways, have no understanding and no interest in God's way. And the Word has taken such extraordinary form, became flesh, and the perfect man in the entire human history, to show how we should live our lives. And more importantly, to help us and to enable us to live that life. Now let's come back to John 1:4. So it said here, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. So many people are confused with the word life. It doesn't simply mean our breath, or heartbeats, or our brain activities. It says here, the life is what? Is the light of man. It's the light of man. So what's your experience with life? What's your most unusual experience with life? It's if you've been through some very painful and dark night, a long night, very painful or scary night, and you really wanted light to come, probably you know better what it means, light, to you. It could mean energy, give you energy. It could mean comfort to you, hope, courage, are the characteristics of life. For people who attend to word, pay attention to, listen to, watch patiently and alertly, attend to the word, they connect to the word. They can not only experience those, they can bring those great characteristics, the great things, to other people. That is how life amazing. And yet, on the other end, Apostle John pointed out immediately, there is darkness. Speaking of darkness, usually come to our mind first with the famines, the oppressions, the world, the wars, right? All these big stuff. That's dark side, dark force. But let's see. John 3:19 said, light has come into the world. Light has come into the world. But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. It's not about all the wars, right? Oppressions, but people, in a sense of many of us, love darkness. Do you love darkness? And you say, no, definitely not, right? That's why I'm here. John said, people love darkness. Darkness is in our hearts, not only outside of us. The busyness in outside is because, as I said earlier, it's a very busy world. The busyness outside is because the inner darkness in our heart. Jesus said in Mark 7:15, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. It's come outside, it's come from inside. It's our inner darkness defiles them. Here, 1 John 2:9 says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. You don't have to do something very, very bad, but even your heart hates people. It's like people. We are in darkness, and yet we don't even know. People think they are in the light, right? But they are in darkness. Many people, including ourselves, I want to say, many people, including ourselves, think we are in the light, but still in the darkness. We think other people have darkness in hearts. Actually, we are those people. So here, let me summarize quickly. Let's look at darkness. We have all kinds of darkness. We can start with evil thoughts, bad thoughts, right? Even wrong desire, even negative emotions. Anybody have some negative emotions in the heart, right? Sometimes just get so depressed, just don't like people, just don't want to go outside. Don't bother me. I think we've experienced that's the darkness in our heart. So darkness goes beyond what we normally think. What is bad? We think darkness, what we think is bad. It goes beyond that. It could even be success. We want success. You know that? Success can bring you darkness. Good looking. We all like good looking. Wealth, health, all this good stuff could be on the dark side. Self-centeredness is the core of the darkness in each of us. Certain time in our life, maybe it's already gone, maybe it's still going on. Now, center of life is the black hole of the self-centeredness. We experience in that dark hole, we experience darkness. So we can see darkness is not only outside, it's inside, inner. It's inner in our heart. And some of those we are aware, we know, we want to get rid of. Some of those we are unaware. We don't even know. We think we are in the light. We are actually in the darkness. So I want you she did, the 10 yuppies start to clap. It's clap. You guys, clap. When you clap, what happens? Huh? Uh-oh. You just realized what happened. Very difficult to believe in Jesus' word. In Luke 5:32, Jesus said, "I did not come to call the virtuous, but sinners." Right? Sinners. It's not like I'm so good that I'm sitting here because Jesus came to call sinners. With the need of self-acceptance, we all need to know we are sinners. We have some dark side. We have some weakness. The self-acceptance. To prevent one-sided life in which only which is presentable to outside world is considered the real life of ourselves. It's not. So come to an inner unity, I call inner unity, right? Totality or wholeness, right? Every part of ourselves should be accepted. We need to know that we have side and dark side. And then Christ presents the light in us. Right? Otherwise, why do we need light? Why do we need light? Christ will present light in us. That's where we need Christ. And remember when Christ was crucified, who on two sides of robbers and murderers, right? And in our heart, that could happen. So we need Jesus, we need Christ, we need the light. So here, again, we need to admit the darkness in each of us. That's almost the prerequisite of accepting light. Now comes the light. The light. We need to accept. As I said, we all have darkness. We have a very hard to live, busy world, how we should live our world, what is the truth? Jesus is the answer. Christ is the truth. We need need to accept. Accept. You said, I have accepted him, right? Many years ago, I've accepted him. Then what you need, that A word, is abide in him. To live in him. To live in him. All the time. Not just once a day. Not just once a week. Some people live once a life when they came to the Lord. Not just once. But we need to do that not once a life, not once a month, a week, but every moment. The first thing God created was light, as you know. And light is such a wonderful thing. Life gives hope, gives us energy, and it can change the cause of despair to the source of life, the source of hope. And we all know that story, that Saul got changed his entire life by the strong light on the way to Damascus. So we need to turn to the true light. And here it said, it was the true light. True light is unconditional. True light shines on everyone unconditionally. You may have that experience that when you feel lonely, right? When sometimes we feel lonely, we try to get someone to listen to us. Someone can pay attention to us. Someone can play with us, right? Someone can be with us. But soon, we may find that that person we want, that someone, feels they feel oppressed by our demand, right? And run away. It's too much. You ask me too much. I can't. Who can do that for us? In the whole wide world, only Jesus can do that. Whenever you can turn to Him. Whenever you can turn to Him. There's no other way. These are the people you might probably recognize. I show two well-known people in the Christian world, right? Nick Vieco, it's hard to pronounce their last name, and John Erickson Tana. So they are very extraordinary individuals. Nick didn't have any limbs, arms or legs. Any human being, any individual, well, I think that's so sad, right? Even sometimes you have a fever, sometimes you have a painful leg or arms, you feel, get over it, right? It's just so difficult. But for him, come to the world, into the world, without any limbs. And was so depressed. At the age of 8, he tried to commit suicide. He was so depressed, tried to commit suicide. He said, oh, wonderful. He couldn't even do that because he cannot even move himself. He tried to get on the countertop of a kitchen. He tried to try himself so hard, tried to fall. He couldn't. He tried to get to the swimming pool and tried to get himself in the water. No one carried him. Couldn't even die. To a point. So depressed. And then the light. The Lord, Christ, came into your heart, and He changed. And for many years, He traveled around the globe and talked to many, many youth particularly. And many, many youth, they have lived their good life around the world. And sometimes this little thing just get so much into them, and then they lost their hope. And then they want to commit suicide. And Nick travel around the globe, the world, and just to teach them. To teach them, to tell them how the light can change these people have strong hope because life in their heart. So here I want to very quickly quote 2 Corinthians 5:4 said, mortality, maybe mortality, everyone will die, right? Everyone will die. Death seems to take over everyone, but may be swallowed up by life. What is that life? It's the life of Christ. It's the light. So we can live very differently. Very differently. Alright, so here I want to end today's preaching and just give you a quick summary here. Now let me ask you, what are the three words you got? The three A's. Okay, so accept, I heard. Huh? Admit, good. Alright, very good. I heard all of three. So, very good. I want to see. My quick summary, we need to attend, I heard that word, attend to the word. We listen to the word, watch